WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Director Martin Scorsese's last two films have been enormous departures for him. The Age of Innocence was a costume drama from an Edith Wharton novel, and Cape Fear was a highly commercial remake of an old suspense thriller. Now Martin Scorsese has returned to the world of gangsters, heists, and rubouts that he and writer Nicholas Pileggi explored in Goodfellas. Pileggi co-wrote the new film as well, writing a nonfiction companion book as the film was being made. Film critic Stephen Schiff has this review of Casino.
Every Scorsese film has its thrills, and Casino's no exception. There are shots here to make your mouth water. Shots that move among the Las Vegas gaming tables and slot machines with a muscular energy that almost makes you want to dance. And shots that get you laughing, like the one of cocaine being sucked through a straw from the straw's point of view. No one now working can manipulate the syntax of film better than Scorsese. But syntax won't get you very far if you don't have something to say. And in Casino, I'm afraid Scorsese doesn't. This is the most ambitious film of his career. It spans a period from the early 70s to 1983, and it tells the huge story of the downfall of the mob in Las Vegas, focusing mainly on three characters. Sam Rothstein, played by Robert De Niro, is a world-class handicapper and sports gambler who's chosen by the mob to run a big casino. His wife, Ginger, played by Sharon Stone, is a hustler and eventually an alcoholic. And his childhood friend, Nicky Santoro, played by Joe Pesci, is a maniacal gangster who becomes the most dangerous man in Vegas. Essentially, the story is true, which means that this is unlike any film Scorsese has tackled before. It's a work of journalism. Unfortunately, Scorsese doesn't yet know how to do journalism. He doesn't know what information to leave out and what to put in, how to organize it all, or how to use his characters to make the information feel vital and fascinating. The movie's nearly 3 hours long. To tell its story, Scorsese employs two lavish voiceovers, one by De Niro and one by Pesci. At their best, those voiceovers are effective, especially when they're accompanied by shots that draw your attention to what they're saying, as in this one, in which the camera moves from one face to the next, just as De Niro's description does.
In Vegas, everybody's got to watch everybody else. Since the players are looking to beat the casino, the dealers are watching the players. The boxmen are watching the dealers. The floormen are watching the boxmen. The pit bosses are watching the floormen. The shift bosses are watching the pit bosses. The casino manager is watching the shift bosses. I'm watching the casino manager, and the eye in the sky is watching us all.
The trouble is, that sort of explanation takes up the movie's entire first hour, and not much of it is terribly compelling. By the time the characters emerge, our eyelids are growing heavy, and those characters don't do much to lighten them. Pesci's Nicky Santoro is the most vivid, but he's a real fiend. Watching him is like watching a cobra. It's riveting, but it doesn't draw you near. Sharon Stone does some of her most convincing work ever as Ginger, but she can't engage our sympathy either, because Ginger doesn't spiral downward in a way that makes you feel for her. She gets meaner and more money-crazy as she goes. In the end, she's one of the most repugnant figures Scorsese has ever presented. That leaves Sam Rothstein as the movie's hero. But Robert De Niro has spent too much energy on capturing the way Rothstein always straightens his lapels, and too little on making someone live inside those day-glow suits of his. De Niro's slow-moving, hollow-voiced performance has so little electricity in it that it's impossible to imagine him as the world's greatest handicapper. Where would the quickness, where would the brain power come from? There are moments in this movie that would make a fleeter, more compact picture really crackle, but Casino feels ponderous and heavy. Its failure is the kind that may remind you of the great critic Cyril Connolly's famous pronouncement. Imprisoned in every fat man, he said, a thin one is wildly signaling to be let out.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.